It was October 2003, Newark, New Jersey. They hired a two-piece band at no expense, guitar and piano. There was no rehearsal. The crowd held its breath. And then Mr. Rambeau uttered these immortal words.
We're going to wing this.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning. You to me are soft as summer rain at dawn, and love we share. That's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble, but love will never die because we'll see.
Eddie Rambeau, does that bring back a memory or what?
Boy, does it ever. That was the day I met Diane Renee after not seeing her for 40 years.
Incredible day.
Yes, it was.
That event was called the Friends of Old Time Radio Convention. And
it was Ronnie Allen on piano.
I was going to ask you that. It was Brian Gary on guitar, and it was some guy named Ronnie Allen on the piano.
A piano that you could hardly hear because the microphone was unidirectional.
I was wondering if you could hear the piano and the guitar. I mean, could you hear the instruments? You didn't really have a monitor or anything.
Yeah, I could hear it.
But
I sang it, didn't I?
You did, and the amazing thing is you sang it on key.
Yes, I did.
And Brian and I sort of kept the beat.
Yes, you did. With his hand in the guitar.
Yeah.
Pounding on his guitar.
We had a lot of fun. By the way, that's all on YouTube.
That
video is on YouTube. If you want to hear what you just heard to open the show.
All you have to do is type in my name in the search box and it'll come up.
Right now, let me give you a formal introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eddie Rambeau.
And this is the infamous Ronnie Allen.
Absolutely. Let me just, at the very beginning, state that when you had your hit record of Concrete and Clay, and we are going to play the real version of Concrete and Clay during
Thank
this
God.
Show, you were Eddie Rambeau. These days, you are Ed Rambeau.
That's correct.
You dropped the die.
I dropped the E.
Well, actually, you dropped, it used to be E-D-D-I-E, and as I said, you dropped the die, D-I-E.
I dropped the die, died. The die died. Well, I hadn't recorded in a long time, and when I came back to recording, I decided that Ed Rambeau might give me a little bit more credibility with regard to being a mature singer versus a teeny bopper singer, like I was in the days when I started on record.
Kind of like what Ricky Nelson did.
That's what he did, yep.
Yeah, he dropped the Y.
Changed to Rick.
Now, could you imagine how big Elvis Presley would have become if he had just become L. Presley?
L. Presley, that's a good one.
You were not born with the name Rambeau.
No, I wasn't. Born with the name Fleury.
F-L-U-R-I?
Mm-hmm.
Edward Fleury?
Frank Slay at Swan Records changed it. He was from Texas, and I think he knew somebody with that last name, and he wanted to spell it B-O, but I thought, I don't know, the B-O. I how about R-A-M-B-E-A-U? It has a little more, dignity to it.
How did you meet Bud Rehak?
Bud Rehak was my manager. Bud and I met as a result of a high school play. He was friends with the drama teacher at Hazleton High School, and he came to see the play, and he thought I had possibilities, and he started to work with me, and we ended up doing record hops with just piano and voice, and we'd get a reaction from the crowd that one of the disc jockeys said that Bobby Rydell was in last week, and he didn't get the reaction I got lip-syncing to his record. So he said, let me see what I can do for you. He said, I know some people at Swan Records, and his name was Jim Ward at WBRE in Plymouth, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And he called Swan Records and sent me down, and Bud and I put together a medley of songs that lasted about 15 minutes, and we auditioned for Frank Slay and Tony Mamarella, the record company owner at the time, and Bernie Binnick. And the three of them sat there and listened to the whole thing, and at the end of it, they said, he's great, but what do we do with a white Johnny Mathis? Had me come back that night, and they put my voice on a horrible track called Tony, which ended up being the B-side of my first record, which was called Skin Diving.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, I actually have a copy of Skin Diving.
Who?
Yeah.
Where did you get it, on eBay?
I'm not going to tell you.
Uh-huh.
I have my spies.
They get these things,
yeah. We wanted to prove that before you hit the big time, you had actually done some preparation, and this was the first one. On graduation day in June of 1961, is about right?
That's when the record was released, right on graduation day.
We're going to listen to it right now. This is the one that started the career of Eddie Rambeau. This is Skin Diving.
Ooh, what a pretty fish. 36, 24, swishing, swish. A pretty little mermaid went a swimming by, a wiggling and a giggling and a wink in her eye. I swam to the shore, to the store right away, bought a skin diving outfit and jumped in the bay. Skin diving,
out with the tide.
Skin diving,
right to her side.
I'll make my home in the balmy brine till I make that little mermaid mine. I found that little mermaid down by a shoal, a splishing and a splashing and a doing the stroll. We did the twist and we kissed all the while, wore my skin diving outfit and she wore a smile.
Well, Eddie, how did Skin Diving do?
It got a lot of play. I did Dick Clark's American Bandstand with it. I traveled the whole country with it. So it just didn't kick off.
Okay.
Skin Diving went under.
That record came out on Swan Records. And we should point out that Swan was a very successful label by that time. They had Billy and Lily, Freddie Cannon.
Danny and the Juniors.
Skin Diving got a little bit of action, but did not exactly make you a star.
No, it did not.
The recording that should have made you a star came out in 1962. It was something called Summertime Guy.
Ronnie, I'm not the luckiest guy in the
Unfortunately, the stars were not with you with Summertime Guy. What exactly happened with this one?
Well, a guy named Chuck Barris, who you may remember from the Gong Show, he wrote Palisades Park and submitted it to Swan Records for Freddie Cannon. And Frank Slay was producer of Freddie Cannon and myself and all the Swan artists, and decided to do Palisades Park with Freddie Cannon, and it became, you know, a major hit. Then Chuck submitted another song called Summertime Guy, and he thought it would be great for me, and I loved the song, and I recorded it. And I was on tour with it, and I think I was in Chicago on the Dick Biondi show. He had an American Bandstand-type show in Chicago, very important show, and I was called into the control room, and they said, you're going to have to do the B-side of your record. I said, why? And they said, because we just discovered that Chuck Barris wrote Palisades Park, and Chuck, at that time, was one of the VPs at ABC. And it would be a conflict of interest.
Oh.
So all ABC stations, TV and radio, pulled Summertime Guy. So that was the end of Summertime Guy.
An American Bandstand couldn't play it?
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned Chuck Barris. He also created the Newlywed Game.
Mm-hmm.
He did use the song, the instrumental.
The song is the theme song for the Newlywed Game.
The theme song from the Newlywed Game. Well, let's take a listen to it. This is the one that shoulda, coulda been a contender.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
But it wasn't, unfortunately.
But it wasn't.
Great record, though, and we're hearing it right in the dead of winter right now. This is Eddie Rambeau and Summertime Guy.
I'm just a summertime lover. I'm just a summertime guy. Well, I'm a real cold drizzle in January, but a sizzle in the month of July. Oh, don't you know now? I like the temperature high. Well, I'm a cool operator when the heat is on, 'cause I'm just a summertime guy. I can't take a nickel singing jingle bells and nothing under mistletoe. No, but I'm a warm weather one.
summertime guy. Jingle bells and I'm nothing under mistletoe. I know, but I'm a warm weather wonder on a sandy beach like the girls in bikinis all over. Let me tell ya, I'm just a summertime lover. Yeah, I'm just a summertime guy. When it snows, I keep praying that it won't be long until the red-red crowd will start singing a song. And when he dies, I'll move right out and give love a try. Oh yeah, I'm just a summertime guy. I'm just a summertime guy who
takes
the summertime, yeah.
Summertime Guy by Eddie Rambeau. I love that song.
I did too.
And in fact, I even played that recording on my very first radio show here. Guess who was on that radio show? You were. You called in that day. The first week in August, and I played Summertime Guy.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I am Ronnie Allen, and I am pleased to be talking with Eddie Rambeau, and I'll call you Eddie Rambeau until later on in this interview when you become...
When I grow up.
When you grow up, and then I'll start calling you Ed Rambeau. You and Bud Rehak got together, and you wrote this very serious song that had deep meaning, I'm sure. It was called The Push and Kick.
Oh, yeah. Big meaning.
Did you write the push part and Bud wrote
the kick part? Yep.
Bud wrote the kick part. How
actually,
did I get?
Frank Slay wrote the and part. Oh. Actually, it was written by Frank Slay, Bud, and myself.
Okay, all three of you.
All three of us, yep.
Okay.
What happened was Mark Valentino was just signed by Swan Records, and they were looking for material for him. So Frank had this idea for the push and kick, and he called Bud and I up, and he said, "Let's write a song called The Push and Kick," and hence The Push and Kick was born. Do you have any idea who Anthony Bacillo is? Nope.
You just heard him. That was his real name.
That was his real name?
Mark Valentino was born.
See how well I knew him, right?
Yeah, I see.
I knew very little about Mark Valentino. I think I saw him at the recording session, and that was it.
Did he look a bit like Fabian?
Yeah, he had a Fabian look.
Was he from Philadelphia?
A very Italian Fabian look. He was from Philadelphia. I never saw the boy again.
Never.
Not even at Swan Records, and I used to be in and out of there all the time. Never bumped into him. I think what happened was once The Push and Kick took off, he started a tour, And then I probably left to go to New York with Frank Slade to join Bob True.
As far as you know, there was no follow-up record to that.
I don't think so.
When you wrote the song, The Push and Kick, did you envision that this was going to be a dance or just a one-shot
thing?
Well,
Frank had the idea to turn it into a new dance. And hopefully if the record took off, it would become a new dance. And that was his intention when he wrote it.
Well, the record became a top 40 hit.
Uh-huh, it did.
I don't think the dance did that well, though.
No, not the dance. I don't think anybody knew what The Push and Kick was.
The Push and Kick did get to number 27 on the chart. We should point out that a female Philadelphia artist recorded The Push and Kick. Who might that be?
Dee Dee Sharp.
Eddie Rambeau wrote The Push and Kick. He wrote an even bigger hit than that, and we are going to get to it now. So this is the record that was your biggest hit ever.
Biggest hit ever.
As a songwriter,
as a songwriter.
Tell me how it came about and who did it, and what's the story?
Well, I assume you're referring to Navy Blue by Diane Reney.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Oh, good. I'm glad I am. Bob True came to us one day, and he was going to record Diane Reney, and he had three songs for the session. He needed a fourth, because they always did four songs. And he said, I've got this idea for a song called Navy Blue. And he pulled Bud and I into a small room at 1841 Broadway. And the song was written in about 5 to 10 minutes at most. It just seemed to write itself. And he ran right down to the second floor of the same building our offices were on. That's where the session was going to be held. And he recorded it with Diane Reney, and the rest is history. Office and he says, I see you got a hit. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, look. And sure enough, there it was bubbling under. And I said, well, that's only bubbling under. He said, yeah, but look at how it's moving.
and
then it went. Then it hit top 10.
Navy blue peaked at number 6 on both trade papers, but if you eliminate the Beatles, it would have been in the top 3.
Yep, it might have been.
Definitely.
And you know, the funny part about that record is I couldn't get away from it everywhere I went, because it's that kind of barroom song that everybody likes to sing along with.
Yep.
I would go into a diner, and suddenly it would come on, and I'd be sitting next to somebody, and I wanted to nudge him and say, I wrote that.
And she's sure glad you wrote that song. Let's say a shout-out to Diane. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
She must be listening to this at some point. Now, I do have a question about the lyrics to the song. He's coming home to see me on a weekend pass, a 48-hour day eight. That boat he's sailing on had better get here fast. That boat must have been the fastest boat in the world.
Yeah, seeing as how he's stationed in Tokyo,
it was
right?
Tokyo, letter from Tokyo, and all this. Did you ever think about, maybe some people would say,
You know what? I'm the one who finally discovered it years later, listening to it one day, and I said, what's going on here? How did that boat get from Tokyo and back in 48 hours?
48 hours. And then
that was a short date.
48-hour day eight. Diane told me that Navy Blue was number one in Japan for 12 weeks. And do you think it has something to do with Japan being mentioned in the song?
I think so, because I get tremendous residuals still from Japan on Navy Blue. Out of all the songs I've written, Japan shows up a lot with Navy Blue. So it must be the Tokyo line. But you know how it's so funny, if you listen to the Japanese version, it's like this. Blue, Navy Blue, yokosuka hoing, yokohon koso. There's no translation for Navy Blue.
Was that really Japanese, or were you just making that up?
I was just making it up.
Okay.
And you fooled, didn't I?
You sure did.
You should hear my Italian.
Wouldn't it be funny if, unbeknownst to you, you said something that was questionable?
Well, if we get some calls from Japanese people,
maybe.
They'll know. You know, Ronnie, I have recorded over 500 songs. I think I can go on the Guinness Book of World Records as being the only male artist to record that many songs.
Well, we're going to play them all tonight. We're doing 10 hours with Eddie Rambo.
Oh,
this is Ronnie.
There you go.
No, I'm only kidding. By the way, Diane Renee was not a one-hit wonder. She became a two-hit wonder with a song called Kiss Me Sailor, which you wrote just with Bud. Bob Crewe is not credited as a writer on Kiss Me Sailor.
Oh, Bud and I were driving back from Pennsylvania to New York.
Right.
In the car, that song was written.
You also wrote several songs on her album, which was called, guess what, Navy Blue. Yeah.
Surprise.
So, let's talk about a song right now called Seems Like Only Yesterday. This was recorded by the Four Seasons, and it was an album track, is that right?
For their Dawn album.
For their Dawn album.
Remember, Dawn, go away, I'm no good for you.
Anyway, we're going to take a listen to it right now. The Four Seasons are hot these days.
They sure are.
Jersey Boys, the hottest ticket on Broadway. Now, did you write this one for the Four Seasons?
Yes, specifically for them, with Bud.
Only yesterday.
like only yesterday.
It sure does.
Concrete and Clay was a song that changed your life in many ways. You didn't write Concrete and Clay, but somehow you got to record the song, and you may have even had the first released version in the United States.
Bob came back from London with a bunch of songs he'd found when he was over there, and one of them in the batch was a song called Concrete and Clay. And he played it for me, and to tell you the truth, I wasn't crazy about it. Matter of fact, it was one of the least favorite songs I felt I'd ever recorded. And it turned out to be my biggest hit, so go figure, right? Anyway, Bob said that he'd like Charlie Calava to produce me on this record. So Charlie produced it, we put the record out, and a few weeks later, I think it was London Records that released Unit 4 Plus 2, which was actually the demo Bob had brought back for me to listen to the song. Now, whether it was a hit in London before, I do not know. I have no knowledge of that. All I know is that I had the first release in the United States within a week or two. And then we found out that London released it, and Bob really got on the bandwagon with promoting mine, but Cashbox and Billboard listed them both together. I think one listed them together and one listed them separately.
Yeah, but the trade that listed them separately, which was Billboard, had you like very, very close on the chart with
yeah,
Unit 4
we were
Plus
close.
So as far as you know, in the United States, you had the first release of Concrete and Clay.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny with Concrete and Clay because it was split up in cities. New York, the Unit 4 Plus 2 was the big hit. Mine was in L.A. I got L.A., they got New York. And maybe they got Chicago, I got Cleveland. Every city decided which one they wanted to play, and that was the one they went with.
I don't know, it sounds like a Monopoly game.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy. As I said, I didn't have the greatest luck in the world as an artist.
No. It was difficult, but the fact is that both versions of Concrete and Clay made the top 40.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know if you outsold Unit 4 Plus 2 in Philadelphia?
That I don't know. Okay. I don't remember.
The Unit 4 Plus Rambo.
Uh-huh.
Let's listen to it right now. This is Eddie Rambeau's biggest hit record as a recording artist. This is Concrete and Clay.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning. You to me are soft as summer rain at dawn, and love we share, that's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble, but love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally, and that's the way, the way it's meant to be. All around I see the purple shades of evening, and on the ground the shadows fall, and once again you're in my arms so tenderly. The sidewalk in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble, but love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally, and that's the way, the way it's meant to be. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble, but love will never die, because we'll see the mountains crumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally, and that's the way, the way it's meant to be. Oh, that's the way, the way it's meant to be. That's the way.
Concrete and Clay, Eddie Rambeau, and that's the one that kind of opened the show.
Memories.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you something. At the opening of the show, I think people can tell this is in 2003, many, many years later, you still sang the song so great with no rehearsal.
And very little instrumentation. I also had what a podium mic. You ever try to sing with a podium mic? No echo?
No echo. That's right. No reverb or anything.
Nothing.
I am Ronnie Allen talking with Eddie Rambo. All of these shows are done exclusively for a website called Jersey Girls Sing, and that is www.jerseygirlssing.com. The two Jersey girls are Denise Ferry, who used to be a member of the Delicates.
Hi, Denise.
And Bernadette Carroll, who sang, I Wanna Be a Party Party Girl.
Hi, Bernadette.
I'll tell you, the website's a wonderful website. I'm so glad to be a part of it. I have my Ronnie's Radio page. You want to hear any of these shows, you just visit Ronnie's Radio page, and you get there from the home page. Just click on that and listen to any of the shows. And this is going to be, I think, show number 27. Eddie, you wrote songs for a lot of other people. For the rest of the show, we're going to concentrate on ones that you recorded on your own. Who are some of the other recording artists that you've written songs for? Just rattle off a few.
I wrote for Patti Duke. It wasn't a hit, of course. She had four songs. A couple of them were mine. I wrote for Frank Sinatra Jr., a song called Shadows on a Foggy Day.
Engelbert Humperdinck?
Yeah, I wrote a song called If I Were You, which I also recorded. It was a B-side of one of my records.
You wrote something for the Shepherd Sisters.
I've Got a Secret.
Oh, well, can you tell us what the name of the song was?
I've Got a Secret.
It's okay. It's okay. You could reveal it. It's not a big...
I've Got a Secret. I've Got a Secret, and I don't think I can keep
it. Oh. Who's on first?
Who's on first?
What's on second? Didn't you do one for Tracy Day? Did you write Here Comes the Boy?
Yeah, I did a couple for Tracy Day. One that I recall was Hanging On to My Baby.
All right. And the other one was Here Comes the Boy?
Here Comes the Boy.
So you wrote some for Shirley Matthews.
Shirley Matthews, yeah, two things. Stop the Clock, what was the other one? A Big Town Boy, which was a major hit in Canada,
okay.
And was also just recently recorded by a guy who sings the female lyric, go figure. He doesn't sing, someday I'm going to be a big town boy. He says, someday you're going to be a big town boy.
Okay.
But it was such a major hit, I guess they felt, I better not change the lyrics. Yeah. Judy Garland sang for Me and My Gal, right?
She sure did. We're going to play a couple of recordings that you did when I think you were still Eddie Rambo. And they were follow-ups to Concrete and Clay, and one of them was called My Name is Mud.
Well, on the Concrete and Clay vein, Bob wanted to do an album with me, called me, and I got a title. And I said, what is it? He said, My Name is Mud. I said, what? And about 15 minutes later, My Name is Mud was born, with Bud, myself, and him.
You mean Bud was one of the writers of Mud?
Mm-hmm. Bud wrote Mud.
Maybe the song was originally called My Name is Bud. Right now, we're going to listen to Eddie Rambo and a song called My Name is Mud.
She had lover names for me like sweet baby mine. Still, she caught me cheating, only did it one time. She turned me down, so I'm a clown all over town. Now all around, my name is Mud. I remember when she ran to catch me and kiss. Now she runs the other way. I'm scratched off her lips. She doesn't care. It isn't fair. For one day, our love should break up. My name is Mud. I'll always love you, baby. Hey, can't you see I'm sorry? Why do you drive me crazy? No excuse except I'm down on my knees, begging your forgiveness, baby, begging you please to take me back where I belong, to make things right, though I was so wrong. My name is Mud. My name is Mud.
And that was Eddie Rambo doing a song called My Name is Mud. That could have been the theme song for Roger Mud, the newsman.
It could have.
Good evening. My name is Mud. Never thought of that. That would have
been great, right? Maybe he should have recorded it.
The next one we're going to play is a story song. It's one of these. Well, it's kind of a tragedy record, but you got to listen carefully because
there is hope.
There is hope. That's right. I think that this one might just have a happy ending. So let's stay with The Train. What is the story behind The Train?
Well, at this point in my life, Herb Bernstein was going to produce me, and he also worked at the Bob Crew office. Bud and I came up with a song called The Train. I got to do Shindig in California with The Train, along with Concrete and Clay.
Here I am waiting down at the station. Where is the sound of the train? Feeling so good, 'cause my baby's coming. Homeward bound on the train. Where is my baby?
Baby,
where is the train?
Train.
Been waiting so long for my baby to kiss me. You're holding me tight. Many nights I've been living without love. Maybe tonight is the night. Where is my baby? Where is that train?
Train. Oh, I am breathing such a sigh of relief, Eddie. My heart was in my throat. Now, that's...
For what? Oh, you mean the lyrics?
No, I'm talking about the melody.
Oh.
Of course I'm talking about the lyrics, Eddie. Come on now. I think, are we on the earth to Eddie?
I'm playing with you. I'm just...
Eddie's playing with the disc jockey. I'm Ronnie Allen talking with Eddie Rambo. I understand you actually recorded Good Morning Starshine in 1968.
Oh, yeah. For
Dynavoice. Is there an interesting story about that one?
That's another story. Bob Crew went to see the show Hair and came flying back to the office the next day, and he said, I just saw the greatest show, an unbelievable show, and I want to record this song. It's going to be a hit. I said, what is it? He said, it's called Good Morning Starshine. He got me tickets to see the show that night. I said, yeah, I like the song. So he put together the track without me there and had a whole bunch of kids singing along with me. And when I came in, I heard the track for the first time and sang the song with all these kids answering back and forth. And we put the record out, but I think it was too close to the opening of the show. Nobody really was catching on to the show yet, and the show wasn't that popular yet. You know, it certainly skyrocketed from that point on, but it was in its early stages yet. So it came out, and it kind of died. And then I moved to California and suddenly I heard on the air, "Good Morning Starshine," which was my exact same arrangement without the kid. So what Bob had done was, when I moved to California, he removed my voice, he removed the kid, and he put Oliver on, and the rest is history.
There was one very significant thing about this recording, Good Morning Starshine. You did not use the name Eddie Rambeau.
Nope, did not. Bob Cruise said, "I think it's time for a name change on this record." I said, "What?" He said, "I love where you're from, Hazleton. I want to call you Eddie Hazleton." I said, "Are you for real?" He was for real.
What if you had been from Sheboygan? Would it have been Eddie Sheboygan?
Thank God I wasn't from Sheboygan. Imagine if I was from Oshkosh.
Eddie Oshkosh.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
So you were Eddie Hazleton.
I was Eddie Hazleton.
And this
on
was
that only on that record.
Eddie Hazleton with the kids. Good Morning Starshine. You did do hair.
Yeah, I did do hair.
Did you play one of the lead roles?
Actually, that show was, when you got there that night, you found out what you were doing. They switched the roles constantly, which
okay.
kept you on your toes.
Should I ask you about your wardrobe?
Yes, you can.
All right. Tell me about your wardrobe.
There's a funny story connected with the nude scene.
Okay.
One of the boys decided to stand up with his back to the audience. And if you stood up on any given night, you were supposed to get $1.50 on any night that you stood up and did the nude scene. So if you did it all seven performances, you made seven times $1.50, whatever that comes to. I'm not good at math. But one boy stood up with his back to the audience, and they took it to Actors Equity, which is the union for actors, and they decided that they should give 75 cents.
And that's the way it went.
And that's the way it went.
Okay. So how much did you earn?
I earned the full 150 times 7.
Really? Okay.
I needed the bucks. What can I tell you?
$10.50, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. How long were you in hair?
I think I played it for about 6 months.
There's one song that Gladys Knight and the Pips are very famous for called Neither One of Us. But I know you liked the song and you wanted to do something a little bit different with it.
Well, you know, the song is so identified with Gladys Knight and the Pips, and it's such a soulful version. But I always thought the song would stand on its own regardless of who did it, because it's such a wonderful lyric and such a meaningful thing. And I'm a storyteller. I love a good story. Ever since I heard the song, I said, someday I want to give that a shot, give it a try, and see if I can handle it. And I was very pleased with the way it came out.
It's sad to think we're not gonna make it, and it's gotten to the point where we just can't fake it. For some ungodly reason, we just won't let it die. I guess neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. I keep wondering what I'm gonna do without you. And I guess that same thing too. So we go on together, living our lives. Because
neither one of us
wants to be the first to say goodbye. Every time I find the nerve to say I'm leaving. Oh, memories, those old memories get in my way. That I'm deceiving. When it comes to saying goodbye, that's a simple word that I just cannot say. There can be no way this can have a happy ending. So we just go on hurting and pretending. And convincing ourselves to give it just one more try. Because
neither one of us
wants to be the first to say it. Neither one of us wants to be the first to say it. No, neither one of us, baby, wants to be the first to say it. Farewell, my love.
neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. When did you become Ed?
Actually, I became Ed maybe in the 90s.
Oh, in the 90s. Okay.
I have Rambo Productions.
Okay.
If you go to my website, edrambo.com, and click on music, you'll see I have 22 CDs available.
Let's say a shout-out to your webmaster, and her name is?
Rosemarie Edwards.
Rosemarie Edwards, and she's in the United Kingdom.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Great gal. She's done tremendous things for me, promoting me and putting my website together. She's just a wonderful, wonderful lady.
Well, Eddie, or Ed, or whatever.
Call me anything but late for bed.
You were Mr. Hazleton for about 10 minutes.
Exactly.
That was about it.
Maybe 5.
One thing I want to mention, you've done a lot of cruises.
Hmm?
You ever get seasick when you do all these cruises?
I never did. Never did. And you know, I asked the doctor, what causes some people to get seasick and others not? He said he thinks it's psychosomatic.
Some people feel it is psychosomatic. I have a different view. I think it's just all in your head.
There you go.
All right.
Okay.
I couldn't wait to get that line in. But you still do them, right?
Yeah.
And you have some hobbies, including photography.
Photography, I love.
A lot of your pictures are on your website.
Mm-hmm.
Which
do
is
them.
www.edrambo.com.
Yep.
That's EDRAMBEAU.com. And I think we pretty much covered everything. You know, I hope you forgive me that we don't have time to play all 500 recordings that you've made.
Not at all.
And I want to thank you for spending the time with us.
My pleasure.
I hope we can do another interview sometime in the future. I want to wish you continued success in all of your endeavors. One thing I know for certain, you're going to continue to make more recordings.
Absolutely.
We're going to close the show with A New Town. What is the story with A New Town? When was this recorded?
Well, a friend of mine was an actor, and I mentioned to him years ago that I had this idea for a television sitcom called The Cad. And I never got around to doing it, and then suddenly I thought, well, why not do it as an innovative CD where there are 12 songs in the CD, and as you listen to the songs, all 12 of them eventually tell a story. And this is the point in the story where the Cad, who is a big player, a womanizer, an egotistical maniac, suddenly realizes that all the women in town are onto him. So he says, well, I'm going to pack up and move to a new town.
Ed Rambo as the Cad, not typecasting, though.
Not typecasting.
Okay. And from that, here he is with A New Town.
I had to get out. I had no choice. But look at this place. I love it. A new town, a new beginning. What more could I want? My past cannot haunt me here. I'll make all these beauties fall in love. Watch these cuties crawl. I'll make tons of booty calls. I feel like a rooster in a hen house. A new town, a new beginning. Ain't no stopping me now. This bull rides a cow tonight. No woman stands a chance here. I'm out to find romance here. Happy as the dickens, with a whole new roost of chickens, and there's no slim pickings here. Yeah, I'm happy as the dickens, cause there's no slim pickings here. I feel alive, so look out world, I'm out for blood again. I'm gonna dive into these girls and be a stud again. My timing couldn't be better, cause my old town was starting to drown me. Look out now, look what I found me. A new town, a new beginning. How perfect is this? Ha! That old town can kiss my ass. The guys in this town, boy, am I gonna scare 'em. Living like a king with my brand new harem. Happy as the dickens, with a whole new roost of chickens, and there's no slim pickin' here. Yeah, I'm happy as the dickens, 'cause there's no Slim Pickens here. And check out the girls here. My God, a bevy of beauty, so gorgeous. Where do I start? I'll have them all by the end of the week.
Well, my friends, that's the show. And now a couple of bonus tracks by Eddie Rambeau. That rhymes. Right now it's time for Clock. Came out in the 60s. And right now, we're going to conclude with a more recent recording by Eddie Rambeau. Or maybe I should say, by Ed Rambeau. This is his version of a song that was written and originally recorded by Neil Diamond. Here's September Morn.
Stay for just a while. Stay and let me look at you. It's been so long, I hardly knew you. Standing in the door, stay with me a while. I only want to talk to you. We've traveled halfway around the world to find ourselves again. September morn, we danced until the night became a brand new day. Two lovers playing scenes from some romantic play. September morning still can make me feel that way. Look at what you've done. Why, you've become a grown-up girl. I still can hear you crying in the corner of your room. Look how far we've come. So
not so far that we've forgotten how it was before. September morn, do you remember how we danced that night away? Two lovers playing scenes from some romantic play. September morning still can make me feel that way. September mornings still can make me feel that way. September morn, do you remember how we danced that night away? Two lovers playing scenes from some romantic play. September still can make me feel that way.